This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد. Actually, a sister had a really brilliant question, and I thought that I would start this session by answering that question and helping everybody understand some things about the nature of engaging the Quran. The question was, you know, we're learning all these, you know, wisdom or philosophical insights and things like that. What is the practical benefit of all of this? I mean, you spent so much time studying it and you're describing all of this, but practically, what do I take home with me, right? What are some, maybe even, she didn't say the words, but maybe what are some action items I can take home to say I actually got something out of this? I actually believe that that's a very common concern. And I also believe it's tied to a certain slogan that is problematic, that has become very common in the Muslim community. And the slogan is that we have to learn every ayah of the Qur'an and put it into practice. The slogan is, everything you learn in the Qur'an, you should put it into practice. Now the thing is, not every ayah of the Qur'an calls you to an action. Alif Lam Mim does not call you to an action. فَتَوَلَّى بِرُكْنِهِ وَقَالَ سَاحِرٌ وَمَجْنُونَ Fir'aun turned to his side and said that Musa alayhi salam is a magician or insane. Is not calling you to an action. You understand? You know, the Allah created trees that have beautifully packaged fruits. Maybe the action is go eat a fruit. But then what is the Qur'an calling you to? See, the Qur'an has certain goals. The goals of the Qur'an are identified by the Qur'an itself. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَذَكَّرُونَ Qur'an itself tells you, so that you think, so that you reflect, so that you ponder, so that you protect yourself, so that you act in the right way. Sometimes the ayat are calling you to action. Other times what Allah wants you to do is just think. He just says, I want you to think. Other times He says, I really want you to think deeply. He says, He complains in the Qur'an, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ Why don't they reflect deeply into the Qur'an? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Or do their hearts have locks placed on them? You know, when we think of putting something into action, we're talking about something that you do. But our actions are a result of our attitudes, our emotions, our understanding. And much of the Qur'an is actually shifting our attitudes. It's shifting our understanding. It's making us appreciate Allah's power. It's making us appreciate Allah's wisdom. And that wisdom changes the way you see things and how you react to things. So not everything is a call to action. I don't believe that at all, actually. I don't believe that at all. There are so many ayat of the Qur'an where there's nothing for you to do. But there's a lot for you to what? Think about. There's a lot for you to consider. There's a lot for you to remember. All of this is a legitimate application of the Qur'an. That's also putting the Qur'an, if you want to call it, into action. The purpose of this exercise, I wanted to do two things. I wanted to highlight, because Allah said in the beginning, وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ The Qur'an full of wisdom. I wanted to highlight some of the beautiful wisdom in the surah. That was my first goal. I also wanted to highlight how it's knit together. Because the word Hakim also means that it's knit together. I also wanted to highlight how the Qur'an does not apologize for its verdicts. It says it like it is, like all these prophets did. And calls people out like it should, because at the end of the day, Hakim is also that. And that ayah in the beginning is actually driving this entire study. So I'm hoping that's what you get out of it. That's worth it to me. If that's not practical enough, I don't know what else I could tell you. Okay, now. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا Actually, no. The ayah now is, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ When it is said to them, this, by the way, this is section 4. And in section, it's the smallest section, it's just 3 ayahs. That's all it is. So we're going to get 4 and 5 done now, inshallah, hopefully. Okay. And in this section, just 3 ayahs, you know what we're going to learn about? People who just refuse to think. They just refuse to think. You know why this section is important? Because right now we are in section 4. So how many sections have come before? 3. The first section called attention to revelation. The second section called attention to history. And the third section called attention to the world around us. Yes? And so all 3 of those are ways by which you can think. You can think. And now we're going to get to a passage, this section, where people just refuse to think. That's their criticism now. This is Allah's statement about them. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, when it is said to them, اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ, why don't you have caution? Why don't you have caution and protect yourselves from what is in front of you and what is behind you? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so you can be shown mercy. Is this the first time you're learning about being taking into consideration what is in front of you and what is behind you? No. Allah already said there's a wall in front and wall in the back. What did I say the wall in the front meant? What does it signify? So Allah is saying, why don't you take heed based on the world you see around you? And if not that, why don't you take heed based on the lessons you may have learned from history? It's almost like saying, when it is said to them, pay attention to section 2 and section 3, so that you can be shown mercy. Now, you know, when you say this to someone, think about this. When it is said to them this, what do you expect the next part to be? When this is said to them, they respond, right? That's what you expect. But you know what's incredible? There is no response. It's left. It is as though when it is said to them, take heed, take precaution, based on what is in front of you, right in front of you, and what is way behind you, so that you may be shown mercy, ... There's no answer. You know what that means, right? They have nothing to say. They just have nothing to say. And that's the most epic way of capturing how little they think. They have no answer. It's just left unanswered. And so when that is left unanswered, Allah moves on and says, وَمَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. And there's not a single ayah from among all of the ayat of their master. By the way, what is an ayah? A sign, a miracle. There's not a single ayah of any of the ayat of their Rabb, إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ, except all they do for those ayat is that they ignore them deliberately. They ignore them. By the way, ayat of Allah. The creation are ayat of Allah. History is ayat of Allah. But what else is the ayat of Allah? Revelation. So in the first ayah here, they've already been told you should consider the world around you and history, and now they're being told you should also think about the ayat. But no matter what ayat come to them, what revelation might even come to them, they still continue to ignore it. So all three doors to the truth have done them no good. They've just done nothing for them. Now, if you think about these words, moving forward, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا, when it is said to them, spend. This is different. This is the first time people are actually being told to do something. Not believe something, not accept something conceptually, but actually do something. This is the only doing command in the Quran, in the surah. Follow, other than اتبعوا المرسلين, follow the prophets. Right? But even following them meant believing in them. But here, listen carefully, when it is said to them, spend from what Allah has provided to all of you. أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ. Spend from what Allah has provided to all of you. Did the ayah say spend on who and spend on what? Nope. It just said spend. It said spend because it's supposed to be clear for someone who's using their intellect to understand. Spend on the people that need it. Spend where it deserves to be spent. There are good causes to spend. And when prophets talk about spending, by the way, in Makkah, there's no masjid being built. There's no Masjid Nabawi fundraiser yet. There isn't. So when the ayat are coming to spend from what Allah provided you, who are you supposed to spend it on? This is an important question. You're supposed to be spending it on the orphan, the poor, the needy, the injured. But are these orphans and poor and needy and injured, are they Muslim or non-Muslim? In Makkah, who are they? They're non-Muslims. Quran is coming and telling these people to spend on their own people. Take care of your own society. Do we do that? Do we consider that the Quran might be telling people to take care of their own community? No, no questions yet. So now, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The disbelievers said to those who believed, those who disbelieved, responded to those who believed. Wait, last time did they respond or no? When it was said to them, why don't you take caution? No response. When it said to them, why don't you spend? They immediately responded. No. أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَ. Should we feed someone? Had Allah wanted, He would have fed him himself. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. You people are nothing but confused. Obviously confused. Go, don't waste our time. When you talk about faith, when you talk about belief in a God, when you talk about the afterlife, they don't even care to respond. When you question their spending, they get upset. Because that hits too close to home. Some ideas about belief and afterlife, and that's all philosophical stuff to them. That's hocus pocus, fine, whatever, who cares? You criticize their money, their bottom line, they flare up and say, excuse me? You want me to spend? So we're learning here that there are practical reasons to reject Islam. They're not necessarily rejecting the ideas of Islam because they find it hard to believe that there's a revelation, or hard to believe that, you know, there's a God, or etc., etc. What's really hard to accept is that I might have to make some practical changes. Like I might have to spend where I don't normally spend. Money is a big problem. Thank you for turning light on. That really helped. I would say this all the time. It just got way too romantic in here. Just... Yeah. Works every time. Okay. Every time. Ha ha, romantic. Ha ha. Love that word. Okay. You know what does it mean when they say, if Allah wanted, He would have fed them, why should we feed them? Some people say this means they question it from predestination, right? If Allah willed it, it would have happened. But actually there's more going on here. What's going on here is, excuse me, you keep telling me about this God who provides everyone, who provides all the fruits, and provides all the trees, and provides all the, you know, the ships that sail in the ocean. He does all this stuff. He can't feed these poor people himself? Go ask him yourself. You guys are obviously confused. This is the height of arrogance. This is the height of arrogance. And in these three ayat, Allah has basically told us there are two ranges left. First of all, they have no answer. Second of all, they ignore everything you tell them. And if they do respond, they respond in the most obnoxious, arrogant, insubordinate kind of way. You know, with no discretion at all. This is now what you're dealing with. And now instead of you asking them, it is their turn to speak, which leads us to our fifth section. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. They say, when is this promise coming? This promise you keep telling us there's coming. When is it? If in fact you're telling the truth. What promise are they talking about? The warnings. Now I want to remind you of something. Warnings are in three stages. Please remember this. This is one of those really, really important things. Warnings are of three kinds. The first warning in the Quran is the destruction of a nation. Nation shall be destroyed. The people of Nuh shall be flooded. The people of Lut shall have fire rained on them from the sky, etc., etc. The first warning is what? The destruction of a nation. The second warning is Judgment Day. That's the second warning, Judgment Day. What was the first one? See if you are still awake. Destruction of nation. Second one? Judgment Day. Third one, hellfire. One, two, three. Walk me through it again. What was the first one? Destruction of nation. Second one? Judgment Day? Hellfire. And all three of them are related. In other words, if you are one of those nations that get destroyed here, then you're going to really take a beating when? Judgment Day. And that's going to feel like a vacation compared to hellfire. So all of that is really part of one promise. Why did you turn the lights off? Oh, anyway. Not going there again. Oh, God. Stop it. She already said no. Okay. You're not going to look any better in lesser light. It's not going to... I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I got to go back to Quran now. Okay. Okay. So, this promise, when is it going to happen? Are you serious? Go ahead then. You know what? Why don't you bring it? Why don't you let it happen? By the way, in the previous ayah, just now they said, if Allah is so wealthy, He can take care of poor people Himself. Didn't they basically say that? Now there's another surah in the Quran that says that. They say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ. Allah is bankrupt, we are rich. Allah says, سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا. We will write down what they say. One of the very unique statements in the Quran, Allah will write down what they say. Write down what they say when they say what? That Allah is poor and they are rich. And they basically said something like that here. And this is why in this surah, uniquely, you find, وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ. We write down what they sent forward and the wake they leave behind. This was worthy enough of a crime. What is so bad that Allah is going to write down? He already talked about the writing down ahead of time, because something worthy of being documented and then thrown in their face like no other has been said. But you know what? Even though they said such a horrendous thing, such a terrible thing, saying, when is this promise coming? Or actually saying, if Allah wanted, He would have fed. At this time, Allah already prepared the Prophet ﷺ that they will be saying outrageous things that are worthy of writing down, so they can really be punished for them. So Allah said it in the beginning, نَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ فَمَا قَدَّمُوهُ هُنَا. What they actually wanted to send forward is actually here. Now, they asked this obnoxious question, and this is the height of Allah's anger with them. So now it's going to begin. The first phase is going to be the destruction of nation. مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً. This means two things. It means they're not waiting for anything except a single explosion. It also means they're not going to get to see anything except one single explosion. تَأْخُذُهُمْ. That is going to grab them. وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ. While they're going to be casually making arguments with each other. They're going to be talking about Allah and what He's going to do and what He's not. Where's your God? Yeah, punishment. Yeah, scared. I'm really scared right now. They're going to be making sarcastic jokes. إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. They're going to be making jokes and fun out of it. And in the middle of their casual conversations, a single explosion will grab them. But this is not the first time Allah talked about a single explosion, is it? When Allah talked about the lesson from history with the nation that got three prophets, and then it also got a believer in that nation, didn't He say, إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. It was nothing but one single explosion. Allah says, that is no longer a lesson from history. That might just become your future. I'll make that history repeat itself. I don't just tell history to tell stories, Allah is telling us. وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ. They're going to be in the middle of just whatever conversation, you know, questioning each other. And by the way, why did that nation get killed? You remember what brought it on? What was the last thing that kind of just did it? They killed a believer. But now, for Quraysh, the fact that they're questioning Judgment Day in such an obnoxious way is enough. Even if they haven't killed anyone yet. That alone is enough. That Allah says, I might just take them out right now. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً. And if I do so, they're not going to be able to leave any will. Tawsiyah is used to leave a will. Tawsiyah in the Qur'an is also used to give good advice. To leave a will and to give good advice, both of them. Now, who do you leave a will for? Tell me. Call it out. Your kids. Your kids. Who you have a lot of hopes for their future, which is why you put them onto ships. Not too long ago. Now Allah says, I will give you an explosion, and in the middle of your discussions, you're going to be wiped out. You're not even going to have a chance to run over and give your kids some good advice. They're not going to be capable of leaving a will. And they're not even going to be capable of going and telling them, kids, protect yourselves. I messed up and Allah got me, but He better not get you. No more. وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And they're not going to be going back to their families. So this idea of حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, you know, to put hopes in your children, is now being reinforced. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. So that was the destruction of the nation. One explosion, they're all going to be wiped out. They won't even have a chance to warn their family or say their final goodbyes. They won't get that chance. Then the immediately next thing, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. Next thing you know, the trumpet is being blown into. The horn is being blown into. It is blown into the horn, literally is the translation. It, something indescribable, is blown into the horn. فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ. Then all of a sudden, from unmarked graves, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. They come running, all generation after generation. يَنْسِلُونَ means to rush. أَسْرَعَ إِلَىٰ مَكَانٍ نَسَلَىٰ. To rush, but it also has to do with nasl. In other words, their multiple generations are going to be running together towards their Rabb. Allah already described this before when He finished the lesson from history, when He said all of them are going to be gathered together. And now he says all of their generations are going to be gathered together. And he already mentions that they're going to be in ajdath, not qubur. Qubur means graves. Ajdath, actually jadath, means an unmarked grave. You're walking over it, you don't even know there's a guy buried there. That's how forgotten you people will be if I take you out. And then you'll be running towards, they'll be running towards their master. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا. So they wake up on judgment day. They come out of these unmarked graves. And they're running towards their Rabb. Right now they were running away from their Rabb. And now they're running towards their Rabb because they don't have a choice anymore. And they wake up. When they wake up from these graves, this is such an epic thing. They say, Ya waylana, oh, this couldn't possibly get any worse. Wail, aswa'a ma yumkin min al-'adhab. The worst possible thing from of all punishments. So when they wake up and they see the beginning of judgment, they say, this could not be any worse. I cannot imagine. Could it be worse though? Oh, it hasn't even started yet, homie. Party's just getting started. مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. Who woke us up from our sleep? From the place we slept and the time we slept. They literally say, who woke us up from our sleep? You know why that's significant? Because messengers came to wake people up from their sleep. But people were completely unaware. Because when you're unaware, you're ghafil. And a ghafil person is like a person who's sleeping. And a person who's sleeping is like a person who's dead. That's already been established before. So this is not the first time you're being woken up, this is the second time. The first time you were being woken up by the messengers of Allah, this time you're being woken up by Allah Himself. That's the difference. So they say, who woke us up? And they say, who woke us up? Because everybody who tried to wake them up before didn't succeed. So who is this power that is able to wake us up now? مِن مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانِ. This is what Ar-Rahman promised. They use the word Ar-Rahman because the messengers used to call them to Ar-Rahman because they used to make fun of Ar-Rahman. But you know what? Now we're learning that they learned, they listened to the message really, really well. So well that when they wake up on Judgment Day, they remember all the promises that the messengers made and they can see, connect the dots themselves and say, this is exactly what Ar-Rahman promised. وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. And those that were sent were all actually telling the truth? Which means you knew. Which means you heard it well enough to be able to review it right now. Hey, this is exactly what they said. Oh no. Now Allah Azza wa Jal takes us further. إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا. They just come out, they're running, and all of a sudden there's another explosion. فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. Then all of a sudden, they are all standing, made to present themselves before us. Criminals have now all been gathered together. This was mentioned at the end of the destruction of that historical nation. Now it's being mentioned as, you guys are going to line up too. You're going to line up too. You're also going to be standing before this, before your Rabb. All lined up together. مُحْضَر in Arabic means someone who is made to present their case. أَحْضَرَ to bring. مُحْضِرَ, the one who is brought. He has to have hudur, he has to be, in Urdu say, hazir hona. Jiski hazri lagai jaye. Oh, okay, I now understand it. Okay. So now, you are presented before Allah, and Allah will now address all of these people. These terrified criminals who used to make fun of Ar-Rahman are now in front of Ar-Rahman. They're talking direct, Allah is talking directly to them. And He says to them, فَالْيَوْمْ, today, today then, لا تظلم نفس شيئا. Nobody will be done any kind of wrong. Nobody will be charged of a crime they did not commit. Nobody will be done more harm than they actually did. Because we have a perfect record of everything you did. So there's no possibility of any wrongdoing. Wait, where is that record? وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِيهِ Imamim Mubin. We write down everything they send for their future and all the impact they leave behind them. And we've recorded everything in an open, clear book. So there's no possibility of you doing any wrong. It's a review of that ayah. وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَا إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You are not going to be paid anything except the very things you used to do yourselves. You're going to be paid in full what you used to do. Having said this, Allah switches over. Okay, this is you. You don't need to know what's going to happen with them now. Those guys. There may be other things happening with them, but Allah puts that, hits a pause button on them. Meantime, let me take you to the believer. Inna ashab al jannati al yawma fi shughulin fakihun. I'm going to spend some time on this ayah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for watching these videos. If you'd like to continue to support Quran Weekly, please click the link in this video.